Well, good morning. Morning. It's good to get a look out and see your smiling faces. It's always good to see. We're a different group every Sunday, and that's kind of exciting because I get to look out and see where everybody's sitting. And there are no assigned seats here, so if you're worried about maybe that's your seat or you're worried about maybe it's someone else's, we don't have that option. We are too crowded to be worried about where everybody sits. So we're just glad you're in the building and you've come to worship God today. One real quick note, we have had some technical difficulties with our ability to communicate via print, so the bulletin has not printed. I will email that out in a PDF to you this afternoon. My apologies. If we get one to work, we'll pick it up. Okay, this is the final lesson in a month-long series on social media. And if you know what we're going to be talking about today, you may think, well, what does that have to do with social media? Well, don't forget that social media is more than just Facebook or Instagram, although apps are going to be a big part of what we're talking about today. We live in a world that's changed unbelievably. In fact, the bulletin article was written to talk about that a little bit. I don't think we have yet grasped how much COVID has changed us. It's 2024, so we're about 4 years in. Man, things have changed a lot. Did you know that gambling was legal? Now, some of you may be young enough you don't think anything about this, but for those of us who are old enough, we know why Pete Rose is not in the Hall of Fame. We know why Bob McAdoo was kicked out of the NBA. It was not only looked down upon as far as gambling was concerned, the idea that the NFL or somebody associated with the NFL might have an event in Las Vegas was just anathema. But now we live in a time when that is not true. All things are lawful. Weed and gambling are legal. Weed and gambling are legal. Now, before you go running out, get yourself in trouble, Tennessee is one of the 10 states left in the country where THC products are not legal. So just don't go out of here saying the preacher told me I could buy this, it's legal. It's not. But I assure you, within the next 2 or 3 years, that will change. Or I assume that it will. But the reason I say that is for those of us who grew up in an earlier time, I don't think that's hit us yet. Think about Obergefell B. Hodges. Men and women can marry. That's the law of the land. Gambling's legal. That's the law of the land. Marijuana use is, if not legal, going to be legal where you are. Hold still. That's the law of the land. I don't know that. Am I the only one that thinks that's gotten ahead of me a little bit? And like everything else that we've talked about this week, social media makes it worse. Social media makes it worse. In fact, talking about Las Vegas, you know where this year's Super Bowl was held? That's right. In Las Vegas, where the NFL has a team now. If you woke Jason Sage up from 2014 and told me all these things, I would not believe you. Yet here we are. In fact, real quick story. Chris Berman, ESPN anchor a long time ago, he used to do his little show, and he would put weird scores up on the board. He'd say, I believe the Bills are going to circle the wagons, and I'll beat the Chiefs 8-4. What he was doing was he was giving you the line for the ball game, which you couldn't even talk about. You couldn't even say the betting line of a ball game. So that was his little code to get it to you 10 or 15 years ago. Now, not only is it legal, the NFL is partnering with ESPN. ESPN has its own app called ESPN Bet. So, know that's coming. So this is our lesson. Two things that you may not realize are legal that social media is exacerbating with what we're talking about. And if you're familiar with this verse, just because it's legal does not mean it's good. Just because it's legal does not mean it's good. And I think this is something we're going to have to deal with. The next generation of young people, you tell them that they shouldn't be smoking weed, they're going to say, why? You're ready for that. They're going to say, why? Because it's legal and it's going to be promoted. So you're going to need to know why you tell somebody. You can't just say it's illegal. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12 through 13. Now, Paul here, to be 100% honest, is not really talking about gambling or weed per se. He's talking about what is legal within a law of Moses kind of standpoint. But I think the point remains. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything. Think about the title of our series, Chains of Our Own Choosing. all the things we've talked about this week, loneliness, FOMO, all those kind of things. What those are things that enslave us. We become addicted to social media. Paul says, all things are lawful. I will not be enslaved by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, stomach for food. God will destroy both one and the other. Body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Our bodies are not here to engage in something just because it's legal, right? Jack Daniels is legal. There are lots of ways you can get yourself in trouble. The legal's not the bar. Is it helpful? Is it addictive? Is what I'm doing helpful? Is it addictive? Allow me to read this phrase again. All things are lawful for me. Paul says, all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything. So these two things, gambling and weed, and I've talked to a lot of people that have a lot of opinions about it, and we're going to talk about some of those things. Social media makes it worse. And just bear with me, because I get an instant reaction from people who want to defend marijuana use. It is a gateway to other sins. Now, you might say, well, no, it's not. That's your argument for another day, and I don't have a lot of time for it. But it is a gateway to sin for this. If I'm engaged in, if I've lost all my money in gambling, can I tell my wife? No. So what do I have to do? That's right. Ten Commandments again? Okay. So you may say to yourself, well, preacher man's up there telling, it's legal, I can do it, I'm a big boy, I can just go out here and do it. Okay, fine. You might say, well, I it's not cocaine, it's not OxyContin, I can have me a little weed with my beer and be just fine. Well, you just keep arguing that. Paul says it may be legal, but it ain't helpful. And he also says it could be legal, but you need to be aware of addiction. I know I'm paraphrasing slightly there. But gambling and weed are both things that lead to other things. If I'm lying, does it matter that I started lying about alcohol or weed or gambling? No, it doesn't really matter. But gambling and social media make it worse. And this part, after I show you this slide, I've got something I think that stunned me. I knew it was coming, but it kind of stunned me. One in four Americans placed a bet on the Super Bowl. I'm telling you, if I woke you up 10 years ago and told you that, you would wonder what country you lived in. Is gambling a growing problem in this country? Look at the difference in how much money was bet last year to this year. You see the numbers up there? 16 million in 23 billion. That's how much it's grown. You know why that is, in my opinion? Because I'm not the only one that's all of a sudden realizing gambling is legal. I saw a commercial with Jamie Foxx, an actor, played Ray, won an Oscar for that. A really funny guy. He is the spokesman for one of these casinos. And I saw an ad, and he comes out, and there's lights and fountains and lions and bets and all this kind of stuff. And you know who I thought of immediately? Cole Sage. It was about 2 years ago. Cole's 20 years old. He's never lived in a world where gambling is legal. Now he's got celebrities online saying, hey, the hot, cool thing is, you like sports? My son likes sports. Well, you want to like sports a little more? Have a little skin in the game. And they're promoting these things. Guys, if you're not aware of this, it is a storm coming. So much so that how much money was bet on the Super Bowl increased by $7 billion in 1 year. It is a storm. I'm telling you, this is just the shower for the storm that's coming. But what I'm about to show you, if you don't see anything else, I want you to see this. I heard about this several years ago, and I didn't know it was real in this country yet. But I heard someone say, now that gambling is legal, this is a British guy. He said, oh yeah, our football matches, you can bet on the screen. I thought, what now? He said, yeah, you can bet on every minute of the game. That's what this is. I'm fixing to show it to you. People are going to be able to watch television with their remote control and bet on the score, bet on the spread, bet on how many touchdowns the guy's going to have, how many fumbles he's going to have, every play of the game. They're not even going to have to leave their couch. They're not even going to have to turn on another computer. This is the quote. Genius Sports, that's the name of a company. The NFL's official data distributor on Tuesday of September unveiled the latest iteration in the United States' rapidly evolving sports betting market. Oh, it's rapidly evolving. A platform that for the first time will allow football fans to watch and bet on NFL games on the same screen. There it is. Not only do you not have to go to Las Vegas to place a bet, not only do you have to do it illegally with a bookie, you can sit on your couch and do it while you watch the game with your remote control. And the NFL is not ashamed of it. The NFL is not fighting against it. The NFL is not suspending you for it. It's the NFL. It's doing it. This is, if you're a young person, let me just appeal to you for just a moment. If you're a young man in this audience today and you're thinking this is just an old man blathering on about something, please listen to me. Don't put these apps on your phone. Don't play with this. You're messing with something that's not messing with you. This is the kind of thing that can ruin your life. Might it not? Yeah, it might not. But it might. One more screen. This actually, I couldn't show this to you. I didn't want to download the video. You actually can see the spread gambling change in this particular example. Your guy scores a touchdown here. It immediately changes what the betting odds are, so you can rebet the spread as you move through the game. I mean, we talked about the social media making pornography worse, and it has. It is about to do the same thing with gambling. So what about the Christian? Why do I care about gambling? God gives me things. Why? Why does God bless me with things? Why does God bless me with health? This was one of the big arguments for years and years against cigarette smoking. If I'm a servant of the Lord and I'm pledged to serve the Lord and I cut off that service by 10 years by my cigarette smoking, is that good or bad? Same thing here. If God grants me with blessings, how am I to deal with those things? I am to be a good steward of what God has given me. 2 Corinthians 8, chapter 8, verse 20 and 21. We take this course. Now, Paul here is talking about the fact that he's being careful with the money he's getting from Corinth. Okay? He's going to take this money from Corinth and he's going to distribute it to in Judea. And what he's saying is, I've sent these messengers. I've been as open about this as I can because this is something that the Lord has given us and we need to take great care with it. Okay? We take this course so that no one should blame us about the generous gift that is being administered by us. For we aim at what is honorable, not only in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of men. So has God blessed us? Has God given me things? How should I treat it? Should I throw it away, or should I be a good steward? 1 Peter 4, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good steward of God's varied grace. Now there, Peter is talking about gifts in the way of teaching or something like that. Would it be wrong if I'm a gifted teacher or a song leader just to refuse to do it? Yes. Yes, that would be taking a gift from God and not appreciating it, not being a good steward of it, not using it. God has given gifts to build up the body. He doesn't give me a gift for my purpose. He gives me a gift for everybody's purpose so that God may be glorified. So then I'm going to take that gift and I'm going to hide it. I'm going to take that gift and I'm not going to use it. That's what's going on in Matthew chapter 25. The master goes away. He's given three men talents. He's given one man five, one man two, one man one. The first two have doubled their talents. The one talent man hides his talent. It could be money there. Could also be ability in our case. He takes that gift from God and hides it because he's afraid of what will happen. What is God's response? God's response is this. If I've given you a talent as a Christian, you should be a good steward of it. Let me say that again. If I've been given a talent, I should be a good steward of it, whether it's my ability to do something or a monetary blessing that God has given me. Our brother Truman read to us from Matthew 25. Let's pick it up with verse 27. Matthew 25, 27. The master says, "Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest." He's saying, at the very least, do something with it. Now, this next part may seem cruel because the master takes the one talent away and gives it to the guy with the most. And you think, Well, that doesn't seem fair until you realize this. Those talents are God's. God gave you that talent so that you could do something with it. Why on earth would he give it to someone who's not going to do anything with it? If God wants there to be blessing, if he wants there to be blessing a hundredfold, he's going to give it to the guy with it when he takes a talent, makes it two. So what about us? Am I blessed? Has God given me things? Am I a good steward of those things, or do I use them casually? Have I taken my course to be honorable before all men? Have I made sure that what God has given me I've used as a blessing? What gambling does is it takes God's things and turns them into nothing. If you play the lottery, do you know how much money you will win over time? You'll actually be down 40%. Every dollar that's spent on the lottery, 60 cents of it is paid out in winnings. That means 40% has not. That means I think I'm going to start a new investing club. You give me $100, and I promise you in 10 years I can give you 60. How successful am I going to be? Now, what does the Lord think if I invest his money in that way? What's the difference? There's no difference. I tell you something else that had never occurred to me until I was studying for this, that if I do win money, I got to pay taxes on it. Lotteries are a tax for people who are bad at math. Lotteries are a tax for people who are bad at math. Don't you take the Lord's blessing and throw it away. Don't you take the Lord's blessing and gamble it away. You take the Lord's blessing and you put it to work. You do something effective with it. And I want you to know this. Not only is gambling a bad stewardship, but it is addictive. Now, we're going to talk about these two elements. If you want to talk to me about this afterwards, you're welcome to. But I've just about had as many conversations as I ever want to have about this. Weed is addictive. Don't at me. Gambling is addictive. Don't at me. These are from the CDC. Now, this is not from Jason Sage. It's not from anybody but the CDC. Signs and symptoms of compulsive gambling. The need to gamble larger sums to get the same thrill. Trying to control, cut back, or stop gambling without success. Trying to get back lost money by gambling more, chasing losses. Lying to family members or others about the extent of your gambling. Risking or losing important relationships, a job, or failing school. Borrowing to cover losses. Inability to stop gambling after passing a personal limit. Here's the thing about both these things. Please don't start. Please don't start. Might you be one of the people who can gamble in and not be addictive? Yes, that's entirely possible. But it's entirely possible that you may not be. Might be you be one somebody who can drink beer or drink whiskey every once in a while, or maybe you can smoke a joint once a month. It's very possible. It's also very possible that you may not be. And it may take you down a road that you can't get off. The gentleman that used to go to worship with us here, named Harry Bromley, went to church with a guy who played the lottery in Kentucky, won, built his mama a house, continued to gamble, and had to sell that house. Addiction is real. Don't play with something that's not playing with you. Again, from the CDC. This particular sentence is the kind of mumbo-jumbo that frustrates me about when I talk about this subject. There's always somebody, you know, weed's great and it's not addictive and it's from Mother Earth, dude. Okay, so is arsenic. But anyway, just so you know, weed is addictive. It may not be as addictive as cocaine. It may not be as addictive as some of these other things. Well, big deal. This is from a press release from the Center for Disease Control, and they answer this question in no uncertain terms. Actually, this is kind of, they're hedging a little here. Some people who use marijuana will develop, not might, will develop what they call marijuana use disorder. Now, the reason they don't want to say addiction is because this is a government agency. But you tell me the difference in this next sentence. You show me the difference. Meaning, they are unable to stop using marijuana, even though it's causing health and social problems in their life. In other words, they are addicted. Of users have marijuana use disorder. Not will get, have. 30% have marijuana use disorder. 10% of people who try marijuana will become addicted. 10%. Now, again, this is the CDC's math. This is the CDC's wording. Don't take my word for it. The risk of marijuana use disorder increases with use and frequency. In other words, if someone begins smoking pot at a young age, their average about whether they'll get addicted goes up terribly. That is my case, by the way. I started smoking pot when I was 10 years old. By the time I was 14, I smoked every day. Couldn't stop. Didn't stop. Have stopped. Lord willing. Thank you, Lord. Marijuana use in pregnant women results in lower birth weight. Plus this. Smoking and secondhand marijuana smoke have the same risk as tobacco. It has the same cancer-causing agencies that are in a cigarette are in a joint. Please forgive me this next slide. Nobody? It's a chronic problem. Ask somebody. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 5 through 8. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 5 through 8. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. Paul is saying be sober, as far as don't be drunk with wine, but what's he also saying? He's saying be sober-minded. If I'm high all the time, and it doesn't really matter what it's on, I'm not useful to the Lord. If I'm so drunk I can't stand up, we know that's sinful. Well, if I'm so stoned I can't drive, what's the difference? There's no difference. Christians don't engage in shameful behaviors. I know it's legal. If it's not legal, it's again, not legal in Tennessee yet. Be careful. Does the Lord want us to be out of our minds? No. Why? Because we have serious business to do. What if I'm out of my mind on whatever substance? Whatever it is. Can I do the Lord's work? A young man came to the front of the building Wednesday night, wanted to be baptized. If I'm high out of my mind and I didn't go to services that day, can I help that situation? Can I be the arm of the Lord to reach out there for someone when they need salvation? No, I cannot. That's what Paul is saying here. He's saying be sober-minded, be ready at all times. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, and I apologize to our pharmacist friends. We're eat up with pharmacists here. But the same Greek word for pharmakia here is in this verse in Revelation. Revelation 21 and 8 says this, "But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers," we're coming back to that, "idolaters and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." This is the triumphal scene in the Bible about heaven. And there are only two places. There's in and there's out. You don't want to be out. Because if you're out, you're cast into outer darkness. What kind of people are going to be sent into outer darkness? The cowardly, the faithful, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers. What that word means in the Greek of the time is those who cast spells by using potions. Drugs. What we would call drugs. Do you know what an oracle was in Roman and Greek times? An oracle would be a priest of a temple who would who would go into a spell and tell you something. Oh, you will do great in battle, or you will do this, or you will contribute on the way out to the oracle. That's what mine would be all the time. I've always said that's what, if I made fortune cookies, your fortune would always be, you are a very generous tipper. Thank you. God here is saying, if you engage in something that makes you out of your mind, you're not sober. If I'm using a drug or a potion that makes me out of my mind, I'm not being useful to God. I'm in sin. Here's the Greek word, pharmakia or pharmakon. It means a drug, a spell-giving potion, a druggist or a pharmacist or a poisoner. Now, the reason that we trust pharmacists is they know the dosage to give us so that they don't poison us. But street pharmacists, not so much. And allow me a really very, very, very serious moment. It's one thing to say someone may lace your pot with something else. Angel dust was the big scare of my age or whatever it may be. You realize now, particularly with the barbiturate drugs, that the way they're making that is with fentanyl. You're aware of that? So in all seriousness, this is something that take you down a road you don't want to go down. And I'm making a little bit of a joke about pharmacists know the dose. The guy who's mixing that up in the bathtub doesn't know his dosage. If it kills you or someone you know, they don't care. Please don't go down the path of involving yourself in any drugs or alcohol for that matter, because it can literally be a deadly one. So the idea is this: sexually immoral people, cowardly, unfaithful liars, those who engage in being out of their mind, those who use a drug to the point that they're out of their mind, those that feel that they're under a spell, those people are not useful to God. This is the close of our series. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11, if you would. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. I think this will put a bow on everything we've talked about. I do a series every year. They're usually based around either an idea or a theme or maybe an issue that needs to be dealt with or a doctrinal thing that we need to be built up on. This year, the elders asked me to do these issues on social media. And we talked about these things that are new. The gambling thing, I cannot begin to tell you how that's going to explode like wildfire. The marijuana thing is already having all kinds of unforeseen problems. For instance, if I drink so much alcohol and I'm over 0.8, they know I'm drunk. How about THC? They don't know how to test it. So if you're too high to drive and you wreck a car, they can't deal with it because they don't have a way. There are secondary effects to legalization that they don't have any way to deal with. Most of the pot grown in this country, depending on where you are, still comes from outside sources and is illegally grown. So when you go legalizing something like this, there are all kind of follow-on consequences. But the gambling, the pornography, the loneliness, fear of missing out, all those things are things that probably will not get better. But they are things Christians can and should avoid. How? Serve the Lord. Put your phone down and actually go talk to a human being. Get outside. Enjoy God's greatness. Everything that we've dealt with here has talked about the idea that social media is antisocial. It isolates. The guy who has a pornography problem, is he doing that with his friends? Let's hope not. Is the guy who has a loneliness problem, can he be on social media enough to feed him and get him the sensation of a handshake or a hug or a hearty hello or going to eat lunch with somebody? Can he equate that with social media? No, he cannot. Can the person who looks at all these influencers on social media or looks at their friends on social media and envies them, they have jealousy, can they solve that by doing more online? No. Probably when I read to you the thing about continuing to gamble to cover losses, you probably thought, well, that makes no sense. Well, how does it make sense of any of these things if I've got a problem to keep using social media to solve them? Same thing here. Please do not put a gambling app on your phone. I beg of you. I did one of my little videos about this 2 or 3 years ago. I had a friend of mine that I know that quit gambling over it because he realized he had a problem. I'm as excited about that as anything I've ever done. Just because whiskey's legal, just because alcohol is legal, just because weed is legal, does not mean it's helpful. Does not mean it's not addictive. Does not mean it'll cause trouble. Do you know how many lives have been destroyed by alcohol? The percentages are north of 80% of every man, woman, and not child, every man or woman that's in state or federal custody committed their crime while under the influence of drugs or alcohol. I don't have the numbers in front of me. It's closer to 95%. So is it legal? Yep. Is it helpful? No. Is it legal? Do I need to be controlled by any of it, as Paul would say? No. So please don't start. Find your joy in the Lord. Do you love God? Do you want to be near God? I enjoyed so much. Where's Tom? I enjoyed so much that first song. I needed that. He is in our midst. I kind of had a lot going on in my brain, right? I've been fighting technology for this morning and going through all that. And I needed to sit down and remember that God is here with me. What a comfort. That's what we need more of. More prayer, more reading, more service to one another. If God gives me a gift, let me share it with my fellow Christians. Let me do something with it that benefits, that builds up and does not tear down. Well, I thought this was a good verse to kind of cover everything we've dealt with today, with this month, I'm sorry. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 to 11. We'll read it, make a couple of comments, and the lesson will be yours. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you. Don't stand proud before God and say, "Oh, I can mess with that. I can start watching a little porn. I can isolate a little bit. This social media is making me crazy, and I can't center my mind because I'm so jealous and envious of everybody else. But I don't want to stop it." Humble yourself. Humble myself. Come before God and say, "Lord, what would you have me do? What is it that I need to tear away in my life that is not you?" I've said this so many times, that Christianity is like the statue of David. And I believe I have this right, that the Michelangelo who carved it, he said, someone asked him, "How did you make such a beautiful thing?" He said, "I just carved away all the things that were not David." That's what Christianity is like. Lord, what is in me that is not you? What is it about my life that does not let your light shine? What is it about me that's sinful and not positive? Lord, let me carve that away. Humble yourselves, therefore, into the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. Man, that relationship with God, that's what you're looking for. That peace of God that passes all understanding, that's what you're looking for in that joint. That's what you're looking for in that big payday. That's what you're looking for in that sexual sin or whatever it is. None of those things will pay off like a relationship with God. Cast all your anxieties on Him. Social media doesn't care for you, but God does. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Do not mess around with something that's not messing around with you. These are things that want to destroy you, your family, your friends. They want to pull you away from the church, pull you away from the Lord, and if they do that, you're going to change just like Satan. Resist him, firm in the faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you've suffered for a little while, might it be tough to get rid of some of these things? Yes. Might it mean I can't have the internet anymore? Yes. Might it mean I have to go to a flip phone? Yes, particularly if you're dealing with a pornography problem. And if you're dealing with a gambling problem, you may not even be able to watch television pretty soon. But be comforted by this. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beware of these things. Satan is behind them, and he is not behind them for your good. Cling to God. Cast your anxieties on him. Build up your prayer life. Build up your spiritual life. Have nothing to fear. Come out into the day. No secrets, nothing to hide, nothing to lie about, nothing to worry about anybody finding out. Living free and open and in a relationship with God where I can speak to him and talk to him and he talks to me and I have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Cast your anxieties on him. He cares for you. If you're struggling with one of the things that we've talked about this month and you need help, come forward. If you've never become a Christian, you need help and you need to come forward too. If you don't have faith, we'll try and preach it into you. And if you need to be baptized, we will immerse you in water this morning for the forgiveness of your sins. Please come forward as we stand and we sing.